Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 363, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. For Jehovah I am waiting, and my hope is in his word of promise given, yea, my soul waits for the Lord. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 363.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Moses, and there of chapter 27. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to be to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee. Sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, and be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? He hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until my brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me thus far?
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, whose eye does penetrate deeper than the skin, who knoweth the inmost thought and the recesses of our hearts, thou knowest how that we come up also unto thy house of prayer. For we have heard read of an Esau who cared not for thee, and yet did complain that he received not the blessing. O thou knowest all our hearts, and what they are by nature in our death state, where we can turn our back unto thee day by day, and then complain that we receive not thy blessing. O Lord, grant us true conversion. O make us upright in our hearts, and wilt thou give the love of thee to be planted within us, that it may be with us as we have sung together, that my soul that waiteth for Jehovah more than the watchers in the night, that there may be such a coming up unto thy house of prayer continually, and may it be also in this afternoon hour, for we come round about thy word of truth, and therein there is declared unto us that fountain that is open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. O Lord, we ask of thee in these moments that thou may remember us and our children. Wilt thou bring us in truth unto this fountain, that there we may seek to be washed, that there we may seek to be cleansed, for all the sin which it can wash away, that does not take away from that fountain, and all sufficiency that is to be found in that blood of thy only begotten Son. And thou knowest the hearts that cannot miss this. O Lord, bring us to this place, and we come to thy house, but our soul is not able to eat or to drink, except that thou dost give unto us that food. O, we beseech thee, that thou may remember young and old. We see no form, we see no comeliness in thee by nature. It is only by the opening of our soul's blind eyes that thou may give to see the beauty, to see the preciousness of thy only, thy dear, thy beloved Son. Thou didst say in him, I am well pleased, for in him thou dost receive thy church again. O, that thou may give, that we also may see and be well pleased in him, that we may receive a desire that if we have never received it before in our life, a hunger and a thirst to return again to our Maker and to our Creator. Lord, it alone can come from thee. Thou didst create us, and Thou created us in a union and communion with Thee. We have turned it so upside down, and we have left Thee, and we continue to leave Thee days without number. And our soul, that is in its death state, does not seek after God, but we leave Thee days without number, and we turn our backs unto Thee, and we say we have no desire in the knowledge of Thy ways. But we can read in Thy holy word of truth how different than that it can become through the dealings that Thou hast with Thy people. They are all a mystery unto us, but eternity that will reveal what Thou hast done. And so Thou dost draw even a Ruth out of the land of Moab, wherein she is serving the gods of her father and her mother and her people. But there came in her life a new desire. O Lord, it is through death, it is through trial, it is through tribulation. But we can read that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and that hope that maketh not ashamed, that we may be given so to hope. And while it is still a day of grace, we and our dear children, O come, Lord, do instruct us in Thy word of truth. For today it is still possible, but tomorrow it can be too late. And we are those that would put it off always another day until the moment that Thou comest to say, it is enough, that Thou stoppest us in our mad career. O come then from Thy own side, from Thy holy place. We can read in Thy holy word, when Thy servant did begin to supplicate unto Thee, and that the command that went forth from Thy holy place, that Thou didst send forth Thy Spirit, and that Thou didst work, and that Thou didst speak. Oh, we can only ask it of Thee, out of that free and sovereign mercy that is found in Thy only begotten Son. Do it then for Thy great and holy name's sake, and build up Thy church also from us and from our children and grandchildren. Oh, that each and every one of us, both young and old, may learn to forsake the world and every former friend for that hid treasure that can satisfy for time and for eternity. Wilt Thou look on us then in this hour, and all those that have special needs in this life, that Thou may by them draw their hearts? For Thou sayest it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And that it is in this life, but it is also in the heart. Oh, that Thou may draw then young and old, and that there may be profit to all that must be experienced also because of our sin. Wilt Thou give us to feel it more and more, that the guilt that will condemn us, that the pollution may be a burden unto us, and that we may have a desire to be forgiven, but also to be delivered of it, that we may live indeed a new and a holy life here below already by beginnings, and that we may be given to look forward unto a time wherein sin shall all be done away, and where that it shall enter in no more. For we can read that in that place there shall enter in nothing that defileth. And then it shall never more be a burden unto thy children, and it'll never more be a grief unto thee. Lord, that thou may lead thy children more and more into that blessed and most holy faith, and that they may be able to live more and more out of that fountain, and that is never dry, that they may be given daily to flee unto it. For there is no other way. There is no other comfort. There is no other peace in this life than to eat and to drink out of thy hand. And all that comes from thy dear and only begotten Son, and that sacrifice upon that cursed tree, and that is giving nothing but benefit unto thy children. Oh, that they may be given so to live out of it here below, that faith may be given to take hold of thee, and that they may be given yet to speak more and more for the sake of the rising generation, and that there may be more and more of that holy jealousy also amongst us, because thy spirit is not that which has to drive, but that spirit is that which does draw, so that thou hast a willing people in the day of thy power. Give it to our youth and to our children who are sought by Satan with devices that are more powerful than their young hearts are able to resist. Oh, that thou thyself may become too strong for them in the days of their youth, and that they may be given to seek thee while that they are still young, and that there may be a blessed obedience not only to father and to mother and to all authority here below, but that they may have a desire to walk in accordance with thy holy word. Lord, show them the beauty. Show them the blessedness. Give them to feel the sweetness. Give them so to taste a little of that honey that may make them to run after thee. Thou art able to touch our hearts. Lord, do it for thy name's sake amongst us, both young and old. And when we have become old under the preaching of thy holy word, wilt thou give that when there is sometimes a holy despair, that it is not possible anymore, wilt thou grant unto them also, even may it be in old age, a little hope, and that they may be given so to seek thee in simplicity, and to come even as that prodigal of old, and that they may say unto thee concerning their whole life, Lord, I have sinned against thee. And that they may experience something, even in their old age, of that receiving by the Father again, before that it is too late. Lord, thou knowest their hearts. Could it please thee to remember them in this hour, to remember them? And wilt thou look upon all those that have needs that we know not of in this life, Lord, that thou mayst supply for all that which we cannot supply. Give doctors wisdom in the needs of the bodies. Wilt thou remember all that care for those who are in need? Remember those who cannot come up to thy house, bound unto their homes, unto the nursing homes. Be unto them a little sanctuary this hour, in the place where that thou hast driven them, and may it please thee to increase the number of thy true church among us. Help thy servants, the students, the instructors, those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou increase thy church, and wilt thou look upon those who are persecuted for thy name's sake. Help our government, O Lord. Thou canst change them. Thou art able, for all the hearts of the kings, they are in thy hand. That is what thou sayest. It is thy word. Oh, we can only ask it of thee. Judge us not according to our sins, and wilt thou help us in thy mercy. And wilt thou be with us in this hour, on our right and on our left. Help us to bring thy word according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, and in this way then it can be blessed. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins, and remember us for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 255 all the stanzas. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 255 in the very last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment Fund. Beloved congregation, by Jeremiah, the Lord declares that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart, deceitful. What does that word mean? It means sly. It means slippery. It has the meaning of a slope, a steep slope, a hilly slope. Do we know something of the slyness? Do we know something of the slipperiness of our own heart? David asked the Lord, "Remove from me the way of lying." And indeed, David felt that way of lying that lived in his heart. We heard that last time, how that David's feigned madness was a lie before the Lord. But you can read in Psalm 143 that David also asks the Lord to lead him into the land of uprightness. That word uprightness, that speaks about something that is flat, something that is level. He says, Lord, lead me into a level place, a level country. Because, you know, children, if you are on a steep slope, and that slope is very slippery, then you will soon be falling down. But David said, lead me into the land of uprightness. That was a place where he could not slip, where he could not fall. With lying, we cannot deceive the Lord, because we read that the Lord, he knows the inmost thought of a man. But with lying, we can deceive other persons. David, he deceived Achish, Rahab. She has deceived even her own countrymen and congregation. Our heart is very good at this. That is what the Bible says. Because our heart is very slippery. And we also read in the Bible that it is possible that we even deceive ourselves. That is something, because the Lord Jesus, he speaks about those who will stand at the gate of heaven and look to enter in and actually expect that they are going to enter in and be surprised when they are turned away. And that is why Paul, he exhorts the churches, examine yourselves. Prove, he says, your own selves, whether ye be in the faith. With the Lord's help, we wish to say a few words this afternoon about this portion of God's Word, which we can find in Genesis 27, the 20th verse. Genesis 27, verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. So far in the words of our text. Jacob's deceit. First, a searching question. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Second, a deceitful answer. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And by way of application, we hope to consider for a few moments a comforting truth that is to be found in this. Thus, Jacob's deceit, first, a searching question, second, a deceitful answer, and third, a comforting truth. How is it? Who says that? Children, you say that is Isaac, that is the father of Jacob, and he is questioning his son. Maybe your father questions you sometimes too, boys and girls. But you know that Jacob was not just a little boy here. No, we read in the chapter before here about Isaac, that was his twin brother, that he had become 40 years old. And actually, there are some people who believe that Isaac was here 137 years old. And we read that Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob and Esau were born. And thus it is possible that Jacob would be as much as more than 70 years old. But he is certainly no little child. How is it? Isaac says. What kind of a question is that? Well, that is, we say, that is a question that is searching because Isaac, he feels that something is not quite right. Something is wrong. How is it? Thus, he is asking for an explanation, and there is good reason for that. Right, boys and girls? Because, indeed, there is something very, very wrong. It is important, fathers and mothers, that you are teaching the Bible history to your children, because we cannot explain all of that from the pulpit. But Jacob, he is standing here before his father, and he has bread in his hands, and he has meat in his hands. We read, meat such as his father loveth. Look at him, children. He looks very strange, Jacob. Why? Well, he has goat skins on his neck, on his arms, on his hands. They are tied to him. You say that looks very, very strange. That is true. But Isaac, he doesn't notice that. Why not? Because Isaac, he is blind. Jacob, he is going to deceive his own father. He is going to take advantage of his father. He is going to take advantage of his father's blindness. Thus, the weakness that has been laid upon his father from the Lord. And thus, he is going to do something which is outside, he feels, the sight of his father, that his father will not know that. You do that sometimes too, boys and girls, young people? You want to do it outside of the sight of your father? For what reason? That your father will not know? You know what the Bible says? It speaks about a woman who forsakes the guide of her youth. That is, the advice of her mother. She forsakes the guide of her youth. Young people, do you know what we heard it this morning about that fifth commandment? Do you know what your father and mother are for you? They are provided for you from the Lord to be a guide. The guide of your youth. And when we will seek to do something that your father and mother do not know about, that is with the intention in your heart to forsake this guide that the Lord has given unto you. And you can indeed hide it from them, but you can never hide it from the Lord. It cannot be for your benefit. And you can be sure that your sins, they will find you out. Jacob, he is going to deceive his father. Why? Well, because his mother told him to. See, that is something. Jacob's mother, she has told him to do this. Thus, the guilt she has taken upon herself, she cannot do that completely. That guilt lies upon her, and she will also be chastised for this sin, because soon Jacob, he will leave his mother, and she will never see him again in her life. But for a mother to tell a child to do something behind or out of the sight of the father. All fathers and mothers, speak to one another, not in the presence of your children, but speak to one another in private, and then speak to your children with one voice, not with two voices, but with one voice. Jacob was afraid to do this. Why? He says, I will not bring down a blessing on myself. No, if my father finds this out, he is not going to bless me, but he is going to curse me. But his mother, Rebecca, she is urging him on to do it. Poor Isaac. Yes, that is true. Poor Isaac. And yet, Isaac is most likely here also not without fault. Because Isaac, he is bringing himself into this predicament. And children, you say, maybe now you do not understand. But God's word that does not hide from us the sin of his people. We saw that last time with David. God's word is showing to us the truth. That is not only the sins of the world, that is also the sins of the church. And why? That is not just to put a blot upon that people, but that is for the comfort of the church of God unto the end of the world. Because they have to experience in their life all that sin that is within and that is without. And without such examples in the Word of God, then it is a church that would say, it is entirely impossible for me. And as God in his word, he is truthful. And we read here in God's word that the Lord exposes to the whole world, to the end of time, the deceit that was living in the heart. Isaac. Rebecca, of Jacob, and of Esau. That's not only of Esau, but even God's own children. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. They have struggled within the womb of Rebecca. And the Lord and Rebecca, she has inquired of the Lord, we read. Do we do that too? Sometimes, mothers, when you feel that life within your womb, that you go sometimes on your knees in your secret place, that you may inquire of the Lord concerning the life that he has given in your womb. And the Lord, he revealed something unto Rebecca. He revealed that one of these sons, the Lord says there are twins in your womb, two children. And the younger one, he shall serve the older one. Thus the Lord reveals to Rebecca that the Lord, he has a favor towards one of these children that are in her womb. And thus, Jacob, he is favored by the Lord. That favor that is from eternity. That does not begin in the time. No, the Lord, he has known his children from that never begun eternity. And now in the womb, Rebecca, as she may be informed of this from the Lord, and then we have reasons to believe that also Isaac, he has been informed of this either from the Lord or probably from Rebecca herself. Isaac loved the Lord. But Isaac, he had a flesh. Do you love the Lord? God's children love the Lord. But do you also have a flesh? Paul speaks about that flesh. The flesh that is living in the life, in the heart of God's children, that is the flesh that it says that is lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to the other, Paul says, so that they cannot do the things that they would. And now Isaac, he has that flesh. And we can read that Isaac loved Esau. And why did he love Esau? Well, we read because he ate of his venison. Well, that was a worldly matter. But Isaac did enjoy that those gifts from his son Esau when he came off the field. And thus, living in the heart of Isaac was a special affinity towards his son Esau. And when Isaac becomes old and his eyes are dim, and when he looks to the future, and when he thinks that he can one day also now die, and then he desires to give that patriarchal blessing unto that firstborn. We read of Rebecca. What do we read of her? We read Rebecca loved Jacob. And why? Well, that was especially because the Lord has revealed something to her concerning this child. There was something of the Lord in that child. The promise of the Lord that belonged to this child. And that meant everything to Rebecca. And when she hears that Isaac is going to give unto Esau the blessing, she says, oh no. She says, that cannot be. That is right, Rebecca. That cannot be. Why can it not be? Well, because the Lord, he has spoken concerning that child. Then it will be Jacob who is going to receive that right of that firstborn, because the elder is going to serve the younger. That is right, Rebecca. Who has said it? The Lord has said it. Oh, Rebecca, will then the Lord not also do it? Will the Lord then forsake the work of his own hands? Hath he said it? And shall he not do it? But Rebecca, she cannot leave it there. Does Rebecca not believe the Lord, young people? Does Rebecca have no faith? Was she not one of God's people? Here you have the reality of the life of the church. Then faith that is not something they can just pull out of their pocket when they need it. It is one thing to believe when we are sitting in our easy chair. It is another thing to believe when Isaac has sent Esau to the field and he is ready to pronounce that blessing upon that firstborn. No, Rebecca, she is not able in these moments to leave it. And not only so, but that goes so far as to use deceit in order to help the Lord to fulfill the promise which he has himself made. To use deceit for that. David did that too, did he not? Rahab did that too, did she not? O people of the Lord, does the Lord need deceit? Does the Lord need a lie? in order to fulfill his own blessing? What does the Lord say of Satan himself? Does he not say that he is the liar from the beginning? Must he then fulfill his own word? Must he fulfill his own promise through the work of the devil himself? Jacob is standing before his father. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isaac is surprised. Isaac is very surprised. Why? Well, he did not expect Esau to be back so soon. And why not? Because Isaac is an experienced man. Because Isaac is a man who is experienced with the reality of hunting. Are you also experienced, young people, some of you? You maybe like to hunt. Then you become experienced with the realities of hunting. Were you experienced with that in the beginning? Let us think about the first time you went, young people. And the first time you went, what was your expectation? Then you were looking forward. You say, I am going to catch something. And I am going to bring it back. And your expectations, they were so very, very high. And then, well, then slowly you become familiar with the way that it really, truly is. And how is it? Well, those of you that are more experienced, I've never done this. But those of you who are more experienced, you will say it doesn't just go like that, does it? No, because this is something that very often that is taking time, that is taking patience, that is taking a certain skill. Then you must track those animals. And you must go to the place where those animals, they like to be. And there you must wait. And you are waiting there, then you cannot force anything. Sometimes you go there and you wait, and there is nothing. And you have to go home again. And maybe another day you say, I try again. And you wait, you look, and there is nothing. Then you have another disappointment, and you find out what the reality of that hunting is. Isaac is familiar with this. He knows that very well. And so he is surprised. He is surprised that Esau, he is coming back so suddenly. He says, how is it? How is it, he says, that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He does not say that is impossible. He does not say that cannot be. But he says, how did that go then? Explain that to me. That is why we say that was a searching question. Because Isaac, he seeks to know the truth of this. He says, that is not normal. That is not the way that it usually goes. Those circumstances, they must have been very, very special. And so I would like to hear from you an explanation. What do you think, children? I think Jacob's heart that was beating very, very fast. When Isaac is searching him, and he knows that he is trying to deceive his father, he wants to lead him in the wrong way. And his father, he is looking for the truth. And he does not want to show his father the truth. has to think very, very fast. And then what does he say? He says, because the Lord, thy God, brought it to me. The way of lying, that is a steep, steep slope. And that is a slope that is very, very slippery. Once a man, he begins to slide down the slope, then it is not easy. Most of the time, it is not even possible anymore. Once he begins to slide down that slippery slope to recover himself from it. That is what we see in Jacob. Jacob, you don't belong in Esau's clothes because you are not Esau. And you don't belong with those goat skins on you. And you do not belong coming in the name of Esau. And now what does he do? He even brings the Lord's name in it. He does not dare to say, young people. He does not dare to say, the Lord my God. But he says, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, hypocrisy. That is going very, very far. When we begin to use the name of the Lord, when we begin to use religion to cover up our deceit, the Lord thy God brought it to me. And such words, they are often effective in stopping the mouth of those who would seek out the truth, who are looking for the truth of the work of God. Because you read here that Isaac, he says nothing. When he says, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Indeed, what can he say? What now can Isaac say against such a thing as this? You say, why can he say nothing? Because it is entirely possible. You know that, hunters, right? You know the normal way. But it is also possible that you go to that place and there is that animal and very, very quickly it is done. And thus we cannot force the Lord into some kind of a system that the Lord has to work in such a way. And yet, God's people, they are going to smart for their foolishness. And yet, the wicked, in their deceit, they are not going to receive a profit from it. But we have to sing. 428. 428. Let's sing just the second stanza. Oh, let thy spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed. The second stanza of Psalter 428. Lastly, we said we would like to consider a comforting truth that can be found in this portion. And what is that? The Lord Jesus says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How is that now with each and every one of us? Because there are those among us, you bend your knees. There are those among us, you take the Word of God in your hands. There are those among us, when the doors of God's house go open, then you would not miss to be there. In your heart, then you ask the Lord, and you say, O Lord, that I may know that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And yet to this moment, you cannot say that you have found. You cannot say that it has been opened unto you. And there are times that in your heart you say, it shall never be. In your heart there comes a voice that says it is for others and it is not for you. We read in the second part of the Pilgrim's Progress of Christiana that she went in unto that wicked gate, and with her, Mercy had been standing. And Mercy sees her go in. But she enters not in herself. And we read that there she swoons. There she fears that she is not welcome. Do you ever see also others? May you hear them sometimes tell of that opening that they may receive in that word. Do you feel, do you hear something of the joy that they may experience? The deliverance, when they may see something of that beauty of the only begotten Son of God. When they may eat a little, when they may drink a little, and that you say, and for me, it cannot be. And then sometimes to hear of the word reprobation that is making a person so to tremble, because in your heart the devil says, it is because you are a reprobate. It is impossible. I want to read something to you from the Canons of Dort, Article 16, of the first head of doctrine. Those who do not yet experience a lively faith in Christ, an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after filial obedience, and glorying in God through Christ, efficaciously wrought in them, and do nevertheless persist in the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of the means, and with ardent desires, devoutly and humbly to wait for a season of richer grace. Much less cause have they to be terrified by the doctrine of reprobation, who, though they seriously desire to be turned to God, to please Him only, and to be delivered from the body of death, yet cannot reach that measure of holiness and faith to which they aspire, since a merciful God has promised that He will not quench the smoking flax, nor break the bruised reed. That is the expression of our forefathers. They were taught by the Spirit of the Lord. It was the experience of their own hearts. We will turn now to the Word of God. The Word of God is full of expressions which prove that the Lord is generally not in a hurry with His people. It is true, there are cases. We read of Saul. It was a short time. We read of a thief. It was but a few moments. That is, to leave that opportunity to the Lord to work as He pleases, not according to the direction of men, but congregation, there are times which they are instances and cases which are very, very few. And on the other hand, when such cases, they are presenting themselves unto us, we had rather ask rightly the question that Isaac has asked. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? What does God's word say? The Lord Jesus spoke a parable of that seed falling on the stony ground. What does it say? It says it came up quickly. Quickly. How is it that thou hast found it, my son? There is something wrong. It has not the sufficient depth that it may last. The Lord Jesus, He has spoken about that widow and the unjust judge. How long that she has asked and asked and asked, and shall not God, He says, avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? does not Habakkuk say it? Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come and not tarry. Do we not often sing with David? Fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God, and he will hear. Children, there is a reason that in the Bible we read, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because the Lord, he is generally not in a hurry. There is so much to learn about ourselves, to learn about the Lord. Turn thee yet again, and I will show thee more abominations. Self-knowledge, and then to have opened that fountain, that never, never ending fountain that is to be found in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, young people, we see our time that is fast hastening away. We live in a time, young people, of great superficiality. It is a hop, a skip, and a jump, and then a man, he has received everything, the full assurance of faith, and then that faith that is able to be exercised even at their own whim. I'd like to ask you a question this afternoon, young people. When you hear those things, do you just take that all in? Do you just believe it all? You must not do that. You must ask this question. The question that is according to the reality in the life of the true church of God. How is it? How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? What are your circumstances that the Lord deals with you in a way that he does not deal in general with his entire church? Do not be offended when our brothers, they come on house visitation, and you will say to them, I have experienced this, I have experienced that. Oh, we hope that there are those that may be able to say something in your life. But congregation, it has to be true. And those men, they're coming, they're also in a little way of searching. Do not be offended when they are asking for an explanation. How is it? How then did it go in your life? What has come before that opening that you are speaking about in your life? What has now followed it? Young people, some of you do hunt, I think. And you become more experienced with that hunting. And so how is it? How is it when you do that? And when you go and you are laboring beforehand, you're looking, that is the place that those deer go. That is where they live. That is where they walk. That is where I have to be. Then you are going there and you are maybe hiding. and you are waiting. Quietly. Waiting. Cannot force it, can you? And if you would get on your little device and not pay attention, and what is going to happen? Then they will come and they will be gone and you will miss them. Do you understand, young people, what we are saying? The Lord, he says, ask. The Lord, he says, seek. The Lord, he says, knock. But what kind of asking, what kind of seeking, what kind of knocking is it? The Lord, in his word, he says, wait. Wait on the Lord. And when you are there and you are waiting for that animal, what kind of waiting is that? That must be a waiting with your full attention. You are looking for that time of the Lord. There is no indifference there. Do you understand it? This is the kind of waiting that the Lord says he will bless. Think about those that were gathered around that pool of Bethesda. The Lord, he is stirring that water from time to time. Those people, they were laying there. What were they doing? You say they were waiting, but they were not sleeping. No, they were looking diligently for that time that water was going to move. Because they wanted, and they had to be, the very first one to step in. That is now the kind of waiting. That is now the kind of searching that the Lord is speaking about. And that is something that is taking time in the life of God's people. Often many years, young people. Often many years. What are you listening to in your cars? Oh, if the Lord would bless one word in your youth, you would not be sorry for this for the rest of your life. No, not to all eternity. Think about it. How is it that thou hast founded so quickly, my son? O congregation, let us not deceive ourselves. Will not help us. But that watching, that waiting, that has a reward. That is the reward from the Lord. The Lord, he compares himself to a roe or to a young hart on the mountains of Bether. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. That is the reward of that waiting, of that watching, when they may see him, when they may see him as he is, like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, and he looketh, he showeth himself through the lattice, and they are looking and waiting for that moment that he may come to show himself through the lattice, and then that people, they may catch their prey, then they may receive the reward. But there is no reward when there is no seeking. Drowsiness that shall clothe a man with rags. Have you become old? Then there is no reason to despair. No. There is no reason to despair, but the time is short. that time that is hastening so quickly away. That time that can never be gotten back again. And the Lord, He is not in a hurry. Oh, are we busy? Are we busy with these things? Felix, he said to Paul, go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, then I will call for thee. But it never happened. It never happened. What does the Lord say today? If thou wilt hear His voice, harden not your hearts, for there is no more convenient season than today. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou come? O wilt thou give that blessed waiting and that blessed looking? As the eyes of a servant look unto his master, and as the eyes of the maid servant they look unto her mistress, oh, that the eyes may look up unto thee, that they may wait for thee continually. Wilt thou encourage those who wait, and wilt thou grant them to experience the truth of thy word, where thou sayest, for he that seeketh, findeth, and he that asketh, receiveth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. O Lord, fulfill it. Do it for thy great name's sake. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive our many sins. Receive our thanks for thy help. Be with us each one in our labors in the week to come. Bring us with desire in midweek also to thy house, when we hope to be gathered together in a day of thanksgiving, not for the fruits of the field, but for thy mercy and for thy goodness in thy church. O Lord, be with us. Help us also to do it. And wilt thou glorify thy own name for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73, 2, 3, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.